Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike here with BeastNet, and I've got Kelly Cole with me. So how you doing, Kelly?
Hi everybody. I am doing well, just recovering from yesterday.
I saw that, so which is awesome. Which is one of the things I do want to talk to you about here in a minute, but we were just talking before we started that me and Kelly, we've met like one time, maybe a couple other times at some of the other expos, but the one time we remember is the Rock and Roll Expo where she took my backpack. Yeah.
I earned it.
She did. It was a Spartan backpack. I was a volunteer. I wasn't supposed to be able to keep one, but I'd stolen one. And then she earned it, so I gave her mine, the last one that we had, so... Yeah, so
I remember you said as long as it's going to a beast, then it's fine.
Yeah, which I shouldn't say, but I, as I explained, I had surgery the day before, so I was high, so I didn't know what I was saying. So, so tell us a little about yourself. For the listeners that don't know you or haven't met you yet.
I'm just as obsessed with racing as everybody else. I started doing fun runs about 5 or 6 years ago, just basic 5Ks. And then I did my first beast. This will be my third year of doing it. So I did my first beast at Seattle. My friend registered me about a week before the race, and I wore regular running shoes. I wanted to die. I thought I would never do it again. And then I think a week later, I signed up for April. So I don't know. I just have this crazy obsession with, like, fitness and I mean, I'm not like the fastest. I'm not the strongest. I love to eat and drink. So I just see the balance and meeting awesome people and helping each other. And it's just such a cool atmosphere.
And that's awesome. And that's kind of, it's so much fun to hear everyone's like beginning stories, because you don't know how many times you get that story of, well, somebody convinced me to go do this and I had no idea what it was. I hated it. It sucked. And then I signed up for my next one the next day. You know, that's like me.
That's me with most races, though. Yeah,
that was me with Montana. I mean, I started my first Spartan race with the Montana Beast in 15 when it was the Founders race. So it was...
I'm very nervous about that one.
It was, I think that year it was almost 20 miles. It was brutal. It sucked. My first words after I finished is, this is stupid and I'm never doing it again. And this will be...
I think I say that after every race, though.
Yeah, I do, I think. But this will be year number 5. That I do Montana. So, I mean,
that's awesome.
It's a
I've
great
heard
course.
Such great
it's
things
beautiful.
And the scenery, and I'm just excited. This is my year of travel races. Normally, I travel to Vegas for the Rock and Roll Half Marathon, and I said I would do that once and never do it again. And now it's tradition. It's like you feel like you're missing out on something if you don't continue to go. So it does become a habit, and it becomes a crazy fun obsession that nobody, unless you're in the industry or in this thing, knows what the heck you're doing it for.
And that is so true. I mean, I started off my years ago, like 10 years ago, I started off, I was overweight like I am now and decided I wanted to lose some weight and started running. And I told myself 1 year, I was like, I'm going to do at least a 5K every month. And by the end of that year, I think I did 15 races, different road races, 5Ks. I did a couple half marathons thrown in there. And I felt great. And then I hurt my knee the next year and then took a break for a while. And then, you know, now it's been this, I think, our third year as a family that we've decided we're doing at least a 5K every month as a family. So, and it doesn't count unless all of us are there. So, you know, if I go do a 5K, it doesn't count. It has to be all three of us, you know, me, my wife, and my son. Then it counts as our one for the month. So we
That's
end up doing.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah, so we do one a month, at least a 5K. If we all do a mud run, it counts, but my wife only does the smaller ones, like Warrior and Survivor and some of those. She doesn't feel that she's ready for the bigger, you know, Spartan, the tougher ones. So my son did his first trifecta last year, but it's fun. It's one of those things.
It's definitely fun. It's a crazy fun. Well, I know. I just love all the people. Like, you feel like you're with this team. I mean, yesterday I met up with somebody at the rental car place and ended up ditching my rental car, and we rode in together, and I raced with him the entire way. But we were just, you know, it's that camaraderie. Like, I was helping people on obstacles. They were helping me, and it's like you're never alone. And so you just want to be around that more and see all the other people. Or at any race, you're just kind of cheering everybody on. And I mean, you're there while everybody else is basically on the couch or doing something else. So it's an accomplishment. Exactly. It feels good.
It does. And I mean, that's the thing is, you know, for me doing the races, I always start my year in Vegas. I go to the Vegas races in March, which really aren't in Vegas. They're in Arizona, but whatever.
Vegasona, yeah.
Which is funny because I stay in Utah because Utah is closer. It's like the closest town to St. George, Utah. But I start there, and the first couple years I was alone. It was just me, but I never felt alone. I always found somebody on the course to race with. You know, last year I ended up, I know 2 years ago, I ended up at the Warrior State of Mind running with them the whole race. You know, the year before that, I met some lady named Judy, and me and her ran the whole race. You know, so it's just, you end up meeting people. And that's what I love is, I mean, the whole, just not just Beast, but Spartan and most OCRs, you make friends along the way. So it's
absolutely
just a great community.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So I know. So what else about you? I mean, you do the races and stuff like that. I mean, is there anything
else
you should know
about? Yeah, I don't ever recommend doing a day race. I mean, I'm sure everybody understood how crazy and anxious I was yesterday, but my flight was delayed. I barely made it for the race, and it all worked out in the end. But what do I do? I work at a restaurant in Everett. I do PR, marketing, and banquet. So that's another reason I need to keep running, because I eat and drink a lot. But I somehow scored a Monday through Friday job. So most weekends are dedicated to workouts or running events and just kind of hanging out and catching up on life. But weekdays, I go to Anytime Fitness, and I've recruited a few people from there to join our team. And get out and race. They've done like Tough Mudders and have done Spartans, but in different areas. So to kind of just promote the group. And then it sounds crazy, but I paint shoes and things. So I painted that pumpkin that I posted right before Halloween, and I paint like Seahawks stuff on shoes because I'm a big Seahawks fan. And I go paddleboarding. I want to try to do like winter paddleboarding, but I just hope I don't fall in. But all summer long, you'll pretty much find me out on a paddleboard. And I have three of them, so if anybody ever wants to go, I put the music on and just kind of take off. So, yeah, I love being in the area in Seattle and rain running, because otherwise you're not going to get outside.
Yeah. And I've actually been one of those ones. I prefer maybe not a downpour, but like a misting rain while I run, because it cools me down and keeps me nice and level. You know.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little more hydrated.
Yeah, it does. I've done the races in the nice warm, like one of the rock and rolls I did in Seattle, I think it was in like June, was like 85 degrees. I freaking hated it. But then I did the Seattle Marathon a couple years ago, and it was pouring down rain, which was too much, but when it was just misting, I was fine. But once it like started like torrential downpour, I'm like, this stupid. But yeah,
then it starts not getting fun, but then it maybe motivates you to get to the finish line faster.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, I think at that point, that was one of those ones when I did that marathon, there was, I'll be honest, I had no business being on that course. I was not ready for it. I was not prepared. I was not trained, but I was like, I signed up and I'm doing it anyway. So yeah, it was 9 hours and 8 minutes, I think, of hell, but I finished it.
That was the Seattle?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was the Seattle.
I remember this year, it was like perfect weather. Oh, it was great this year.
Yeah.
And then I remember all the marathoners got downpoured on, and I was like, well, that's why I'm going to be a half.
Yeah.
I got
that was, yeah, 2 years
and not
ago,
miserable
like,
weather.
Yeah, 2 years ago was miserable. This last year I didn't do it, but my best friend has convinced me that apparently this year we're doing two marathons, so I need to step up my training to get ready for that. So we're doing one in June, and then we're doing the Seattle Marathon because it's the 50th. So we're going to do the Seattle Marathon
again. Oh, my gosh.
Again.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I keep telling myself, I said I would never do a half marathon, and then I did it. One and done, that's what I said, and now I've done too many. But I don't think I'll ever do a full marathon.
You should. It's
so
one of those
I
things
commend
that
you.
I told myself for years I would never do any of them because I hate running, but which is obvious in everything I do, right? But I hated running as a kid. I've said it before on the episodes and all that. I played baseball because I only had to run 90 feet at a time. So I was good at those quick sprints, but anything distance wise, I wasn't. And then I got overweight and decided to lose weight. And the best way I found was running. And then it's like, well, okay. And then, like I said, I started doing the half K, 5K every month. And then I wanted to challenge myself more. So then it was 10Ks. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, I might as well do a half marathon just to say I did it. So I did one. And then all of a sudden there was five. And then I told myself before I blew my knee, I'm like, I'm going to do one marathon in my life just so I can say I did it. And I want to do it before my 40th birthday. And then I blew my knee and everything went downhill. So, and I actually blew my knee on a half marathon. I was running downhill in Beacon Hill on the Rock and Roll half marathon. I think it was 2012.
No.
And going downhill and my knee just was like, nope, I don't like this. And it was my own fault. I did the half marathon in Portland 2 weeks earlier and it hurt my knee. And then, but I'm like, I want that really cool medal that shows I did both of these in the same year. So I went anyway when I knew I shouldn't have. So it was my own fault. And the fact that I hurt myself on mile six and I finished the race. So that did a lot more damage. Yeah. If the doctor even said, they're like, if you would have stopped, you would have been fine. She's like, you would have had like a month of a really sore knee, you know, and have to ice it and take a break. But running for another, you know, 7 miles on a knee that was already damaged, she's like, yeah, you're done for like 6 months. At least.
Oh, no. I feel like our mentality is like, you have to finish. You can't stop. You just have to keep going.
Yeah, and that was it.
Usually it ends up okay.
Yeah, and I told myself, I'm like, I will do a full marathon before I'm 40. And in 2017, my wife pointed out in like June, she's like, you realize your 40th birthday is in December. So if you're going to do that full marathon before you're 40, you've got 6 months.
Nice of her to keep you held accountable for that one.
Yeah, so I looked it up, and the Seattle Marathon was literally 6 days before my 40th birthday.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do it. And it, like I said, it was 9 hours. I had so many people tell me, you should not do this, you're not ready for it. And I'm like, you're probably right, but I'm doing it anyway. And I just pushed myself, and it was one of those, just like that, once I started, I couldn't stop. By the time I finished, my left ankle had cramped so bad that I couldn't move it. Like, if you see video of me running across the finish line, because once I saw the finish line, I'm like, I'm going to at least jog to it. You could tell, like, my left leg wasn't, like, at all working. Like, my ankle was just cramped. It wouldn't bend. So it was just like I was running, like, so weird. But I was like, I'm finishing this. I even had one of the I can't remember what they call them, but they're like older people that drive around and basically make sure that you're okay. And she kept looking at me going, do you just want me to drive you to the finish line? Like, no, I need to do this. I told myself I would do this. I need to do this. Yeah. But
that's
the mentality of a racer. You got to do it. We're all crazy.
Yep, and then at the finish line, you feel that euphoria and you feel good for a second.
Yep. For a second. Then the next day, your body's going, I hate you. But, you know.
Uh-huh. So you have to try to afford to stay in bed all day. Can't, but you always want to. Have you ever done cryotherapy?
Done what?
Cryotherapy.
No, what's that?
It's like this stand-up chamber that you go in, and they hit you with, like, this freezing cold nitrous oxide or something. And it's for, like, 2 or 3 minutes, and it's supposed to help circulate and heal. And I've done it a few times after the Beast, where the place I used to go to closed, but I like would always swear by it. I'm like, you have pain, go there, because you'll walk out feeling great.
I'll have to try that, because my knee, like right now, I went bowling this morning and my knee is just killing me. But it's every week when I go bowling, it's my left knee that's jacked up, and that's the one, of course, when I bowl that I land on. So it's
everybody always has their recovery. Everyone has their own little recovery technique or something, and I feel like I've tried it all. I know I've talked to Landy, who's in the group, and she's like, I've tried that, I've tried massage, I've tried this, and, well, I guess it doesn't work for everybody, but if you find it and it works, do it.
I have to look at that. I used to, when I was running, like, every day and doing, you know, 45 minutes, you know, every day of full-on, like, sprinting and running, and massages 3 times a month. And that was amazing. So,
yeah, I believe that. Or the people that do the ice baths, but I couldn't sit in something that cold for 20 minutes.
No, I couldn't. I'm pretty sure I would hit that and then I'd want to die. So, no. Yeah, no.
Just go into shock. Nope, never tried that one. I feel like I took an ice bath yesterday. The water was murky and cold. It was disgusting.
Yeah, they do get some cold water at some of those races. I know Montana,
oh, yeah.
It hasn't been as bad the last couple of years, but the first year that I did it, there was a mountain stream that they used for the dunk wall. So, I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, most places they got a pit. This was actually like a full-on mountain stream that they used, and it was cold. It was really cold. But what's funny is
the one
dunk wall.
Have they always done that race in May? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. But I was going to say, it was the one dunk wall I've never had a problem with. I dunk wall is my worst obstacle. I can't, if the water's muddy and nasty, I can't put my head underneath it. It drives me nuts. It's like, I've seen too many horror movies. I know what happens next. There's something under that water I can't see. So, yeah. But if it's clear water,
yeah,
it's like
bad
that
memory with all the cows around. Oh, it stunk.
Yeah, and that's one thing like Montana when they do it in the stream is the water was running. It was constantly refreshing itself, so it was clear and you could see through it. You know,
oh, that's awesome.
So it was, I could see through it and I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And it was cold. Like, I'm pretty sure that, you know, certain parts of my anatomy were in my throat because it was so cold, but yeah.
Gotta push
through.
It
was brutal. Yeah, but I could see, so. So, you did what? San Jose this weekend, right?
Chino, the SoCal. SoCal Spartan.
SoCal.
Super. I did the super yesterday. I would have stayed and tried to do the sprint today, but flights were so expensive coming home that I just went for that all day travel and race thing.
And see, I've done the one I've done is the very first year I did Vegas. I flew down Friday night, did the race, and then literally, because I didn't do research to see where it was at, literally, mm-hmm. like, as soon as we finished, we had to jump in the car and drive straight back so that I could take a quick shower and then jump on a plane and fly back. And that was probably the worst, because to do the race and then suddenly sit in an airplane for hours, my legs were cramping so bad by the time we landed. So, did you have any issues with that?
I felt really bad for everybody on the plane. I didn't cramp, luckily, but no, there was nobody in the middle seat, thankfully. And there were a few other Spartans on the airplane, but I didn't have time to go and shower after, so I hosed off at the venue and changed and kind of used some baby wipes to freshen up. But I was just like, sorry, everybody. And I ran into Casey at the airport, so talked to him for a bit. So he was heading back the same day, but lucky he got to start at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, where I got there at 1:45.
Yeah, I love Casey. Casey's a great guy. Yeah.
He was awesome. It was. I just went up to him and I was like, I should probably introduce myself. Of course, everybody knows you, but you have no idea who I am. So yeah, it was great chatting with him and hearing about his teamwork and all the stuff that they did.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We've had him on the podcast once after one of the races because I've met him a couple times and stopped, talked to him on the races. Every time I see him, we stop and talk. But he's a great guy and so inspirational.
Oh, yeah. And we were chatting about what to expect for Seattle. Because I was telling him how I never seem to make the Olympus or, like, half the walls are just slick and slippery. But I made it this time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it's due to the fact that the whole wall was just super high. It's a huge difference when you don't have the wet and the rain and just the terrible, terrible wetness.
It is. Because that's one thing like Vegas. Because Vegas, every year, it's dry as can be. And, I mean, usually there's like the first couple years they had a water obstacle where you walked through a river within the first mile. And then after that, you didn't see water again until like mile 7 of the super. So, I mean, it was pretty much like all the slip wall was not slick because there was no water. But
right. Yeah, this
you know,
was probably
was
the cleanest race I did. But the slip wall was pretty slippery because it was right after that dunk wall, and it was just nasty. So that one was a little harder for people to get up. But I think everybody struggled, or the most bottlenecking was on that new beater obstacle because it's one long bar. But I saw a video of It was terrible. It was good. You just have to get so much momentum because the first straight bar is so high and it's so far away. So I saw some people literally flying from one of the spinny ones to the next, which, I mean, once you get up there, does not seem possible. And then I saw one video of two guys that went together and did it, which I was like, I guess that's one way to get two people to go at one time. But it was doable. And then the monkey bars were just straight across, but they were a little wider. So it was just kind of like a test in the middle, I guess. It was fun.
I can't wait to see some of those new ones. I always love when they have new obstacles. Because it depends on the people. Like when Bender first came out, there were so many people that hated Bender. And I love Bender. The only times I've had problems with Bender is Seattle last year in April. It was so wet. And I had my 16-year-old with me, and I'm like, he's afraid of heights. And I'm like, there's no way I'm getting you up and over that with how wet it is. So we're going to do burpees and move on.
So. It was scary in April. Like, I don't have a fear of heights, and I can usually get up that one pretty good. But I was sketching a little just because some people were hitting that first thing and literally going straight down on their back. I'm like, please don't fall, please don't fall, please don't fall.
Yeah, and I looked at that, and like I said, my 16-year-old is afraid of heights, and I'm just like, yeah, we're gonna do burpees and move on. This just I'm not killing you on your first, like, he'd done sprints, but your first super, I'm not gonna kill you. Your mom will not be happy. So.
Well, and you see everybody that literally freeze at the top and don't know what to do, and you're just kind of trying to figure out the best way to coerce them over that top bar, and then everything is fine, and they get down to the bottom, and you can see that, like, a light opened and it started shining, and they're just so accomplished, and they're like, I'm no longer afraid of heights, until they get to, like, the A-frame or something.
Yeah.
But that was crazy. I think two of the new, or their barbed wire crawl yesterday was probably one of my favorites, because you can bear crawl under them. It was a little higher. And the dirt underneath was super soft and squishy, so it was like walking on a pillow almost. And then that black tube that they added that you had to go through was big enough that you could bear crawl through instead of crawl underneath. So that was a big relief. But that one was it was long, but it was doable, and some people were challenging each other. And it was just the lineups on some of the obstacles that were just kind of a pain yesterday, but I think it might have been because we went a little later too. But we did it and still had a good time and met some new people.
That's awesome. What do you mean black tube? I didn't see the black tube.
Oh, it just looks like, the only way I can describe it is like when you're watching one of those dog shows and they have to shoot through those. It looks like a laundry hamper that's extended. And they've had them at like, I think they've had them at Warrior Dashes or those Survivor Med Runs where they're tubes that are really hard that you have to go through, or this one was literally like, I don't know what it was made out of, but it seemed like it was made out of just loose plastic. And you just had to go through it, but it was big enough that you could go on your hands and knees rather than just your knees and get through. So it was kind of it was easy. I liked it. But I saw a few of the pictures on. I think they posted them on West Coast.
I'll have to look. Because, yeah, I do okay with tubes. The only thing I have problems with those tubes is when too many people get in them. If there's more than just, like, me in the tube, then I start having issues. And, yeah, I don't like crowds. I'm okay with small places. I just don't like crowds.
Well, this was long enough that it was pitch black, so you actually couldn't really see in front of you. But people were doing it one at a time. So when I went through, I caught up to the guy in front of me because he was crawling on his hands and knees. But one person was oddly going through it at a time. But I wonder if we'll get that in Seattle. If so, it'll be, full of water and mud, but it was still a nice little addition. But they had most of the obstacles. There were some throughout the course, and then, like, a bulk majority of them were in the last 2 miles, or maybe even last mile. It was insane. So there's a lot of cardio involved in the first half to three quarters of the race.
Which is good. I mean, there's a few races I've been on like that where it was like, all of a sudden, you have, like, open area, and then all of a sudden, it's like, bam, like, obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, and you're like, whoa. Montana's like that a lot of times, because the up and down of the hills is considered really an obstacle, because it is. It's brutal. I think one year there was almost 5 or 6,000 feet of elevation gain. It was brutal. But so if you don't do a lot of hill training and you're going to do Montana, do some hill training. But yeah, it was a lot of uphill, downhill, uphill. You're going through the trails, and then all of a sudden they have an open area that you actually hit most years three different times. That you hit this open area, and you hit like three obstacles, and then you go back up in the hills and go all over the place, and then all of a sudden you'll come back down and hit this open area again and hit three more obstacles, and then go back up in the hills, and then you come back around again and hit it one more time. And it's just really weird the way they have it. Like, so in this area, there's like 12 obstacles in this one open area, but you hit them at different times of the day because it's just depending on where you are in the course. You're like, oh, hey, we're going to do this. Oh, no, we're not. I guess we're not doing that until later.
Yeah, that's what I like about seeing it. I'm like, oh, we're coming up to this, and then you're nowhere near it. And then 6 miles later, you find it.
Yeah,
I like those obstacles.
And that's the other part that's fun of Montana, too, is Montana, you can see so far away, and there's like, when you start, you can see like way off in the distance, like way up on top of this hill. Almost every year they have the A-frame at the very peak of like the highest point that we go to in the course. And you can look way off in the distance and you see the flags on top of it. And you're like, wow, that's a long ways away. And you really don't realize how far it really is away because you know, zigzag around the mountain forever until you finally get to it. But then once you get to it, it's usually the best view you've ever seen. Because you're sitting at the top of that A-frame looking out over the Flathead Lake and everything, and it's gorgeous. But if you're afraid of heights, you're not going to like that.
No, luckily I'm not. I think that's the one that I'm – there's a few races. I never take my phone on races, and I'm like, there's a few coming up that, especially this year, that I might just need to take my phone, take some pictures and capture them.
Montana's one that – usually one of us will at least have our phone so that we can get pictures because there's such gorgeous views and all that kind of stuff. I think most of the backgrounds on my computer are from the Montana race because the pictures that we got and how gorgeous it is. The other one is if you ever do Hawaii. Hawaii is another one.
Yeah, I'm registered for that one. Even, I mean, I would have gotten those pictures this year like most of us, but no.
But no, stupid lame. I have the, did you get the Spartan Hawaii t-shirt from the race venue? And the Ohana Spartan, they made the shirts. They got the shirts and then had canceled.
Yes, I saw that. I did a race with Landy and James. We did that Winter Pineapple Classic, and we all had the shirts on, and then I saw that he got the one that said canceled, and I was like, what the heck? I didn't know about that. I thought that was super cool.
Wow.
But hopefully they won't have to be made again this year, and we'll be able to actually get the venue shirt and do the race. And
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. This was my third attempt at trying to get all three races in the weekend, and I didn't even get a race at all. So it was like, I was like, dang it, I was probably the most ready I've been to get all three. And yeah. So this year I get a little extra training to make sure I'm ready to get all three in a weekend. So,
well, I feel like especially this year, there's a way to do all three. Because last year for the Seattle, the April race, I did the super, and then the next day I did the Seahawks 12K and then booked it up to do the sprint. But I'm going to do the trail race this year because I want that medal. So I am going to do the super, the trail race, and the sprint, which I hope other people are doing.
I've thought about it, but I don't know if I'm not ready for that yet. I need to do some more training, so I got to make sure I'm ready for Hawaii. It's like I said, this will be my fourth year going to Hawaii. So, and it's probably this last year was supposed to be the last year, but it's like, well, I didn't get a race, so we got to try this again. So
I gotta give it another chance. Not only that, it's like you, how do you train for the humidity and the heat and everything? When we got there and we ended up going to Maui, but just running in the morning, I'm just like, after a mile, I wanted to die.
And that's the hard part is, I mean, and that's what I've been trying to figure out is I've had some people say like hot yoga, but I haven't been able to find one down here in Puyallup. But like hot yoga would help. One of the things that I found that works better for me is to make sure that I'm there a couple of days beforehand so that I can try and get used to and acclimate with my body. Because the first year, I literally landed on Friday. And it's also the same year that my foot was broke and I was in a boot and you know, whatever, I went for it anyway. But we landed on Friday and then raced Saturday morning. So I was not only like in a boot because my foot was broke, but the humidity was killing me, you know, and going for the meet. The only race I've ever DNF'd because I missed the cutoff by 30 seconds, which I was very not very happy about, but it happened. And then I went back the next day into the super, and that's why I got the one race when I wanted all three. And then the next year I did the beast, finished that, got up the next morning, did the super. My feet were destroyed because you start each race in a river, walking down the river. So you're already, I mean, you start off with your feet soaked. And then because of the humidity and everything else, your feet never dry out through the whole race. So by the end of the super, my feet were destroyed. And I was like, could I do the sprint? Probably. I could push myself and I could go start the sprint because I had time to hit the last, you know, the last race or the last group. But I'm like, I'm supposed to run a Schugel next weekend with my son. Do I want to take the chance of pushing myself so hard to finish the sprint that I can't walk next weekend to do the sprint? So I'm like, I'm just going to do the beast and the super. The sprint was something I didn't need for my trifectas. I was still going to get triple. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to end it, you know, on the super. And then this last year, I'm like, I don't care what happens, because Washougal was the weekend before. I'm like, I'm finishing all three. And then we get there, me and Serena and Amber, we're all excited. We're like, yeah. And then, and we knew, you know, we'd heard before we left on Monday, because we left Monday, we were going to get there early. So, because if you're there early, it gives you time to acclimate. And we're like, okay, we'll be good. And then all of a sudden, more and more stuff on the hurricane, and they're like, yeah, they're shutting down the races. And I'm like, no. So, it was next year. This is my time to finish it. I'm going to get all three.
It's your redemption year.
This is my redemption year. I'm getting all three. I'm doing it. And the one thing is, too, I'll tell you, if you haven't done the Hawaii races yet, it's brutal. It's one of those, and I was worried this last year when the hurricane, they were talking about it, because in 2016 it rained, and those hills become mudslides, and you're going up and down those hills, and I mean, it was, you couldn't walk up the hills, you were grabbing branches and stuff like that and pulling yourself up the hills for like 4 miles. You're pulling yourself up the hill, and then when you
additional obstacle.
Yeah, and then when you're going down the hills, you were, you know, the only way down that was really safe, and it really wasn't that safe, was to pretty much sit on your butt and slide. And you were sliding down the hills, and that's really how, like, I had a pair of shorts, my running shorts I'd had for like like 7 years. That's pretty much what killed them, was sliding down the hills, and one of the roots caught my shorts and ripped them. But it was, yeah. It was brutal, and I was thinking, well, this is going to be another hill year of that, but, you know, whatever, let's do this, and then all of a sudden they canceled it. So it's those hills add an extra issue to them. But the big thing is you'll be doing that race, and you'll come up a hill, and you're like, I'm pretty sure I'm about to die. This sucks. I hate this. And then you'll walk around a corner, and you get one of those views, and you're like, I've died and gone to heaven. This is gorgeous, you know. But then you're like, I really didn't think heaven was going to be this painful. But, you know, it's...
Kind of earn your way in there. Yeah, I was talking to G about it, and he was like, take your camera. Stop and take pictures. It's so beautiful. Yep. It's so amazing. But he didn't say anything about, like, hills and crazy, and you might die.
Yeah. Oh, no, he did, yeah. G was awesome. I've got pictures that me and G... He was taking so many pictures. It was awesome when he was with us. We got pictures of us because it's where they film.
That's what I'm excited for. I feel like it'll be a good enough distraction.
Yeah, they filmed King Kong Skull Island. So there's like King Kong Skull out there that we got pictures with. The year before, it wasn't there like in 17, but in 16, there was the Jurassic Park sign that we got pictures with. And so, I mean, they film movies there. So you'll run across, like, all of a sudden you'll be like, hey, that's from, you know. Yeah, so that's another reason to have a camera in Hawaii, so you can get pictures of all that.
Yeah, that's the plan for that one.
Yay. So we kind of got off topic. I don't remember what we were talking about before we went out on that tangent.
That's so
fun with me.
It all kind of
like I said, I don't do I don't do a script. It's just we go for it, and I'm wonderful for getting off topic, but half the time I feel like those are some of the best conversations. Let's take a quick break so I can add a commercial in here, and then we'll talk some more.
Okay, perfect.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, so we're back from break. So we've gone off on crazy tangents and all that kind of stuff already. So we're having fun with this. What do you have planned for this year? I know you said a little bit about Hawaii and stuff like that. What other great plans do you have?
Let me think. So I keep a little spreadsheet, just a simple number spreadsheet of all the races I'm doing so I can keep all my tracking of times down. So if I do mm-hmm. the same race every year in a row, I can see whether or not I've improved. I don't know why, but I think I'm signed up for 38 races this year, and they range everywhere from the 5K to obstacle course to half marathons, all that jazz. And I'm going for a times four trifecta, so trying to plan that out has been a nightmare with all the other races I'm signed up for, but I'm going to do, I think San Jose is one of them, and then a stadium sprint in L.A., and I'm going to do the Central Florida Super. I have family down there. I'm going to try to get my uncle to do it. He does races down there and says that, like, halfway through they give people shots, and then they usually have, like, these huge parties after. I'm like, okay, where are these races in Seattle?
Yeah. You say a shot?
So I'm going to just, yeah, shots. Like, they get a mile in, and they have to take, like, a shot of vodka.
Oh, I'm off.
And they run on the beach and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if anybody listening has ever done the Central Florida race. I don't really know what to expect, but kind of excited to travel and do that one. And then, yeah, I don't know, doing Seattle to get a trifecta, Hawaii to get a trifecta. Just did the super, and then I'll have the stadium sprint, and I think I'm doing a super in San Jose. I don't know. but yeah, lots of those, but just, I don't know, I have this problem with signing up for races and volunteering and helping out and getting involved with a lot of stuff. It keeps my time very busy, but again, you're around the people that, like, you enjoy hanging out with, and you meet new people through it, and you see them at the races all the time, so it's a good obsession, a good habit, a good addiction.
Yes. Yeah. That's a lot of races.
Yeah, like I said, I have a problem. And then I have that issue with never being able to do the Olympics until yesterday. So I have recruited some people or begged and pleaded to do to build an obstacle in my parents' backyard because they have a pretty large backyard. It got postponed, but I want to try to build an Olympus and a rope climb and a spear throw. And I don't know, like the Tyrolean Traverse or just some stuff back there and set up some workouts. So once that's finally completed, my dad keeps asking me, like, so what are you going to do with this wood in the backyard? Thinking I'm not going to finish it, but I'm not a builder. So if anybody wants to help, I thought it'd be fun to put a little obstacle course together and do some trainings. And I feel like that's the easiest way to, like, get ready for the races is to actually do the obstacles.
Yes. Where's that, your parents' house at?
It's in Mukilteo. So it's about, what, 25 minutes north of Seattle?
So we should, any beef listening that have ideas, they should get a hold of Kelly and figure out how to do that. Because I have basically that in my yard. I have rope climb. I have a bunch of obstacles in my yard that we use for the South Sound workouts of the day. So, but yeah, they should definitely.
Yeah,
we should get some people together and get it in your parents' yard. So we have one up in Mukilteo too. So that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. And I know they do the North End and the Marysville Lodge and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I can never attend them. But one of these days, I will. But yeah, it could just be like a workout party. And it's. I mean, I live about 20 minutes away from the venue up in Monroe or the Snohomish race. So to just have something local or to let people kind of test out. And I'm like, if I would have had this, I probably would have been a little more comfortable trying things. But half the time, people don't see or test the obstacle until they literally get up to it at the race. So for me, it's very helpful. It just has to actually be put together. And I've gotten a lot of help from some beasts so far, which has been amazing. But putting it together and executing it is just not my expertise.
Yeah, I get that. And that's one of the problems that I've kind of had with the obstacles that I have in my house. We have a bunch, and Adam has come over and helped a couple times, and a few other beasts come over and help, but we haven't completely finished them just because I'm one to say really quickly, building is not one of my fortes. I'm just, it's not something I do. I mean, I can bake a cake, I can do stuff like that. I'm a great cook, but when it comes to building, it's not one of those things that I do. I mean, I do work in construction, but I'm a safety guy because, well, I can't do the rest of it.
Yeah, that's what I said when we were setting it all up. My mom was taking pictures, and I'm just kind of watching everybody, and I'm like, I'm a very good supervisor, making sure nobody gets hurt. And off topic, just kind of taking to the game and putting it together. And then I painted them, and I want to put, like, the Spartan logo on them. And my parents are like, why would you do this? I'm like, so people can come over and have an outlet to work out and test some obstacles and have a party. Have a good time.
Yeah. Have some fun.
But she's never done the races or anything, and nor has, like, anybody in my family ever come to, like, see what it's all about. So they don't get it until they actually do it. I've had some friends that I've raced with, and they're just like, you're crazy. Why do you do this? And I'm like, this is why. Look at this cool medal and all these cool people and all these awesome races.
And that's just it. Until you've done it and, like, met all of these people and found out kind of what it's about, I mean, people think you're nuts. And I've had a few people, my best friend Don, thought I was insane. And then he came out and finally, like, did a race with the beast. And he'd done some of the, like, warrior dashes and stuff like that. And he's like, I can't do a Spartan. There's no way I can do a Spartan. I can't do it. And I'm like, here's a free race. Come do one with me. And then tell me after that you can do it. So, this year he signed up for his trifecta. So, because he came out and did he came out and did the sprint with me in Seattle last year. And now, he signed up for his trifecta, and he's the one that's, like, signed me up and convinced me that I'm doing all these half marathons or full marathons. So, like, the one in June, he's just like, hey, we're going to do this marathon. I'm like, yeah, I'll sign up for that later. And he's like, okay, cool. And then he sends me, all of a sudden, I get an email that says, hey, you're signed up for this race. And I'm like, I'm what?
That's so, a good friend like, yeah, right there.
He's like, I know you said you'd do it later, but I just helped you out. And I'm like, thanks. So I guess there's no backing out now.
No, but that's what I think people are. I think people are kind of afraid to do Spartan races because I don't know. One, they think I'm like this super insane person that can do all these obstacles, which I'm not. But you just got to do it and have fun with it. But I have a feeling that they think if they do it, they're gonna like it too much and get too addicted to it. So I think that's better. Yeah. Really holding out.
And I can see that. Because, yeah, they are. And it's addicting. But it's one of those things a lot of times, if you can take the excuse out of it, and that's kind of like what, my friend Don did to me. He took my excuse out of it. He's like, here, I'm going to sign you up for this. So now what's your excuse? And I'm like, I guess I really don't have one now. So because it's too late. You've already signed me up.
Yeah.
But and that's just it. Once people are already, if you're signed up for it, you have no excuse and you got to do it anyway. So, and it's, that's just kind of how it is, and I think that's part of it too with like races. I've had a lot of family members and friends that are like, I want to do a race, but they're so expensive. And I'm like, I earn a bunch of free ones and here you go. Why don't you take a free one? You try it out, pay me back later, however you want. And then they're like, okay. And I'm like, okay, what's your next excuse? You got another one? Or,
yeah,
the
beautiful
or we just
thing called
it?
Volunteering. I learned about that, yep. And changed my life.
And that's me. I mean, I have paid, I literally, the only Spartan races I've ever paid for was the Hawaii 2 years ago. I think, it was 2 years ago. I paid for Hawaii because the volunteer credits that I had didn't work for Hawaii. Now they do, but at that point they didn't, the ones that I had didn't. So I had to pay for it. But other than that, those are the only races I've ever paid for doing Spartan. Every other one I've volunteered for. So, yeah.
Yeah, and volunteering is a good use of your time, and it's always nice to give back.
Yep, and that's like tomorrow I'm volunteering for the
What is Tunnel it? The Viaduct.
The tunnel, the viaduct. So I can do that on Saturday with my son. So that's going to be a fun one. So
I think everybody in this area will be at that race. I haven't talked to anybody who's not registered yet.
It's the last time you get a run on the viaduct ever. And the mm-hmm. first time you get a run in the tunnel. So, I mean, it's like you get both in the same race. So I'm like, why wouldn't you sign up? So yeah, there's a lot of us doing that one. So
it's going to be a huge outcome. I was telling people that they should, with the medals, they should have just, like when they tore down the viaduct, taken little pieces and made those the medals. That way you have a little
that
piece of history
cool.
as your accomplishment. Or find
that
a piece and
cool.
just glue it onto the back of the medal.
Yeah. That would have been cool. So, but I think it's going to be cool to go down in the tunnel and see what it looks like. I mean, I'll probably end up driving it the next week, but whatever. At least I get to run in it first. So
everything's more fun when you get to, like, be on foot in places you're not supposed to be on foot.
Exactly. And, I mean, because of my job, I end up doing that quite often, actually. I've been down in the Sound Transit tunnels and, you know, up in the U District and stuff like that for the new train. I've been in the pontoons of the I-90 bridge. So I get to do all sorts of weird stuff, but I have not been able to go in that tunnel yet. So this will be fun. So.
Oh yeah. Super cool. You get to see things from a different perspective.
Yes, you do.
That's why I would like
right
to watch Chocolate Run running through the Battery Street Tunnel. It's just weird to be in there,
yeah.
not in the car.
I did that once. I've only been able to do that one time. And that was in, God, years ago when on the Torchlight Run, it ended just on the other side of the Battery Street Tunnel, and you ended by going up the viaduct and through the Battery Street Tunnel. So, but that was a long time ago.
That's cool.
So.
They find ways to make it fun. They just have to do it at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that is the bad part. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, it's an experience you only get to do once. I mean, I'm sure we'll be able to run in the tunnel at a later date, but we'll never be able to do where we can do them both again. It's our one time we're going to do both the same race.
That's going to be awesome. I'm excited for that one. I signed up real early.
Yeah, I actually, and this is how horrible, what a metal whore I am, but I told Roadrunner that I'd volunteer for the packet pickup, and then I asked him, I'm like, do we still get the medals? And they're like, well, we don't know for sure. We haven't got an answer on that. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I went and signed up for the race and paid for it because I wanted to take a medal. And then I talked to him, you know, but I told him I volunteer, so I'm going to still volunteer. And then I talked to Dexter, who in charge of all that. And he's like, oh, yeah, we got 150 medals for the volunteers. And I'm like, cool.
Oh,
so I paid for it for nothing. But... But it ends up I get a free race so that I give them my that's how my son's gonna race and he gets a medal. So he's excited about that. So
yeah,
it's
I
gonna
race,
be fun.
But I was already registered, so I raffled and gave that one away. But Dexter's great. He like hooks it up for people and knows how to treat the people that help him.
He does. I've known Dexter because I'm part of the Spartan Street team and we used to do the Roadrunner Adventure Runs. And Dexter was the one that ran all those for the last year or two that I did them. And so I've known Dexter for a while, and Dexter's a great guy. So, yeah. And it's going to be
cool.
A fun run.
Yeah,
I can't wait
together.
To do that one.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm excited. And there will be so many beasts there along with the rest of the world. But I know it's going to have a really big turnout.
It's going to be a lot of beasts. And the bad part is my best friend Dawn has been holding me accountable and making me every Saturday morning he comes and shows up at my house and he makes me go for a walk. And usually by a walk, I'm talking the short ones are 5 miles. So,
good friend.
And I was like, yeah, I'm like, so we're doing that, the tunnel, the viaduct run. So we don't have to do it that Saturday. He's like, oh no, I'll be there on Sunday. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, thanks. You suck. But yeah. He's like, nope, we can't do it Saturday because we're doing that. So I'll be there on Sunday. I'm like, okay, cool. So we're going to do the 10K and then the next day go walk forever, which is fine. It's great. Mm-hmm. I needed somebody to hold me accountable because I haven't been holding myself accountable. So it's good. But
that's exactly how I am. I like buddy systems.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm gotten really bad at holding myself accountable. So it's good that he's doing it for me. So, yeah. Right on.
Everybody needs a friend like that.
Yeah, it is. So we're almost to the hour mark. So we probably should be wrapping this up. But do you have anything you want to say to the listeners in closing? I know we've kind of ran the gambit of everything here, but is there anything that you would want to say to them and tell them, and any advice?
Literally everything. Don't sell yourself short. I'm sure everybody in here has done a race, or if they're planning on it, you can do it. But, I mean, if anybody's around the area and wants to train or get together, I know if you're in the northern area, Jeannie Neiman puts on some stellar workouts. And
I've heard
if you want to get, yeah, it's in the Everett area, and she kicks your ass, but it's in a really good way. So I've missed a few of those, but it's nice to just get everybody together, and I think she does them on a weekly basis, but just continue to push yourself, and I will be doing the same, and I'm just really excited to meet a whole slew of new people in the area this year, and new beasts on the team, as well as the whole travel idea. So if anybody else is thinking of traveling or wants to partner up, because right now we're going to Arizona in 2 weeks, and we have a house full of beasts for that, and then partnered up with John to stay somewhere in Montana. But I'm ready to explore and get more people hooked up on this awesome race. And everything else going along with it. There's so many races in the area, and I guarantee you that I am signed up for every single one of them. So buddy systems, running partners, just meeting new people. I love this industry.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I mean, that's one thing where we're lucky, where we've got the beast and kind of, you know, ran into that. So I mean, it opens up a lot of doors to help, you know, the buddy system and everything else. And, you know, like I said, Montana, every year I always stay with Brandon and all them and what we call the beach barracks. But there's usually about four or five different groups of beasts, because we get so many people that go to Montana. Because that's kind of like, it sounds bad because Seattle should be our home race, but really most of us consider Montana like where we started. So usually I think we end up with over 100 people every year in Montana. And yeah, there's usually like three or four houses that you can pick from to find a place to stay. So if you're going to Montana and you want a place, you know, say, hey, I need a place and whatever, I'm sure we can find somebody, anyone listening, you know, yeah, for you to stay with.
That's so awesome. I don't even know how I got involved with this group. I look back and I'm just like, just kind of found somebody, and it might have even been Landy or something, but I never have regretted any part of it, and I like to be involved with things and try to meet new people and give advice. Not that I, you know, take my own advice half the time, but it's been a great thing, and ever since I did my first race, I guess 2.5 years ago, I'm hooked, so sorry, y'all. You'll be seeing a lot of me this year.
Well, I think that's how most of them get started. I know so many people that I don't know it, but I'll be talking to them, and they're like, you know, they'll tell me, they're like, you're the one that got me hooked on this. And I'm like, how did I do it? And they're like, oh, I went to one of the Roadrunner Adventure runs when, you know, and you were giving out and talking about Spartan and all that, and I thought it was a great idea and signed up because you told me to. And I'm like, I did what? Why would you listen to me? But it's interesting. And then you just kind of find different people that, and usually it's like some beast, they did a race or were somewhere, and some beast started talking to them. And the next thing you know, they're a member. And it's awesome. It's a great group. I'm so glad that I got lucky enough, you know, years ago to run into the right people and become part of this group. So they're amazing.
Yeah. I concur.
So, and I can't wait to meet you, formally meet you at one of these races. And yeah, it'll be a blast.
I can't wait either. I'll start bugging you every time I see you.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I'm not hard to miss. Look for the guy, you know, the big guy with the long hair. So that's why they call me Pretty Mike. So
the one always posing. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And what's really bad is most of the time when they catch me in those poses, I'm not trying to pose. I just happen to be, like, you know, for whatever reason in that spot. And it just, I'm like, I don't get it. So now I feel like I have to start posing just so I can get more pictures. So
It works out, especially when somebody can find like the exact replica doing like a meme of it or something. It's perfect.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was Landy. Was it Landy? I can't remember who did the first one with like me doing the like the supermodel pose in the water at like Seattle.
Yeah, the side pose. I think it might have been.
And she said it to me, she was so apologetic, and I'm like, that is awesome. I'm like, I don't know why you're apologizing. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. So, yeah.
So we've started a thing here.
We have. So, and I am all for it. I think it's great. So there's no way I would ever be offended by that. But it was just funny. I'm just like, I'm not sure why you're apologizing. This is amazing.
It was gold. I'm glad it got shared.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, it's been great talking to you. I can't wait to talk to you some more, you know, at races and everything else. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on today. It was a fun experience.
Oh, anytime. This was a blast. I always love talking to people and everything like that on here. So it was awesome.
And I like to talk, so anytime.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.